Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's a Monday. It's the most boring week of the year sports-wise, which is why we're here to keep you alive and well. And for all of you loyal listeners that we like to call the suspects out there, and for every flea on the nutsack of society, we are here for you.
Wow.
That was a nice intro.
That was feisty.
Barry's here. Nick's here. I'm here so that you can identify voices and names. You guys saw this already?
No.
So we all know the Stros dismantled the Blue Jays yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So then the six All-Stars head to Miami. The rest of the team heads home. I guess Alex Bregman was bored. He goes into a DM of a fan by the name of Alan H., who was detailing why he thought Bregman should be the centerpiece of a trade that back in time would have brought Chris Sale.
Okay.
Bregman decides to insert himself.
Oh, no.
So first he wants to know why this fan feels the way he does. And he says, I think Sale would impact the Astros more than you in the year 2017. That's my opinion. An opinion many hold, because I think Marwin Gonzalez should get more time at third, with him being incredible at the plate this year, that I think you bring back more in a trade than prospects do for immediate impact starter. I actually think it's a compliment to what type of player you will be in the future. Are you really that bothered by my opinion that you direct message me? He says, and he responds, we'll see at the end of the year. Sweet screenshot, clown. I forgot. I shouldn't give fleas on the nutsack of society the time of day. We maybe should trade you, but frat boys don't get traded.
Wow.
So I guess you could say he was a little upset.
He's a little feisty, huh?
Yeah, and then, by the way, Alan wasn't done there. He responded, I'm the clown, yet you're the professional athlete sending DMs to fans because you don't like their opinion. Yikes.
And then, of course, the fan took all that and made it public.
For sure.
Of course.
Which doesn't do anything to stir it up even further.
No. Yeah, you probably shouldn't be sending that. I, you know, it's almost even like us, you know, we get texts directly to us that they're reaching out to us. But if I were to see on Twitter, somebody was like, you know, ESPN should get rid of Barry and, you know, replace him with whoever. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go and directly message that guy. Be like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? I might just publicly tweet him and be like, hey, man, thanks for the support. Like being a smartass or something.
Sam Decker.
Yeah, but I'm certainly not going to start DMing somebody to vent or something like that. Yeah, you can't. And I'm a nobody. You're Alex Bregman. You're on the best team in the American League. Yeah. You can't be doing that.
No.
That's funny, though. You know that. And you have to know that if you do that, he's going to screenshot everything and make it public.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Some people, as we say, are looking for their 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you want that 15 minutes of fame, well, you just got it. But you want to talk about the ultimate bitch move. I mean, you take the DM then, you make it public, you're getting all this attention. But at the same time, that's a fighting action in most cases, where if that was you and one of your boys and someone did something like that to you, I'd be like, Chief, there's a reason why we were DMing.
Yeah.
So you want to make that public, and I want to punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, you can't. You shouldn't do that. Well, both of them were probably in the wrong.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't blame the fan necessarily. He didn't ask for it. You know what I mean? He didn't say, hey, Alex Bregman, DM me so I can make it public and embarrass you and make you look silly and all that.
Look, that's what
Bregman kind of brought it on himself a little.
Yeah. I mean, passionate fans aren't just fans that sit back and only watch. They want to talk about it. That's part of the reason why we do what we do, is because people want their opinions heard. They want to have open discussions. Sometimes they become arguments. But the fact of the matter is they're passionate. But their passion should not be responded to by guys in the middle of that passionate discussion as a topic.
I like the frat boy comment, though. That's pretty slick.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
what'd you do this weekend?
You know, not a lot.
Did you do anything?
The mother-in-law's in town.
Yeah.
So did a lot of just, I'm thinking back now, not a whole lot of like anything spectacular other than played hoops and actually for a Sunday hit the gym, which was great. Lisa and I both were able to do that because with mom in town, we got a built-in babysitter now.
Right.
Which is awesome because we finally get some downtime, which is
movie fun. Night. You going out?
No, we're going to go to the Astros next weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so because Lisa loves baseball, hasn't been to a game yet. So we're going to go to at least Friday and or Saturday, which will be good.
Okay. Yeah. Who's playing next? Is it the Twins? Okay.
Yeah. So we'll check that out.
I'm surprised not the Dodgers or Angels game. She's not a Dodgers or Angels fan.
She's a huge Dodger fan.
Okay.
But, you know, they're not here. You know, if they come here, then we definitely, I'm sure, will make plans.
Are they on the schedule this year?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I haven't looked at that far down the road, but I don't think so.
Mm.
But if they were, and of course she made the comment today or yesterday, especially with her mom in town, she was like, can you imagine Dodgers Astros World Series? And then of course, in typical Lisa fashion, she went, so would that game be in LA or... And then she went, no, it's going to be in both places. It would just be, you know,
yeah.
Who has the home field. But yeah, it'll be back and forth. So
yeah,
plenty of opportunities to see that. But she, growing up as a lifelong Dodger fan, she'd love to see Stroh's Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be big.
That would be kind of an old school throwback because I remember back in the day, plenty of Dodgers Astros games.
In the Dome?
Yeah, I'm going at it.
That'd be awesome.
In the 80s, right?
I saw you had outdoor plumbing problems or indoor plumbing problems.
You know, God. So I've been trying to keep my grass from dying from the heat, and I've noticed these dry spots throughout. And I thought, you know, this must be because my sprinkler heads aren't raised up properly. And sure enough, I walk around and I turn them all on, and there's some of them that the grass is so thick and tall that they're not getting. So I'm like, all right, I have these tools that I had bought a long time ago to raise up a couple of sprinkler heads. So I thought I'd get out there and just start raising up I have like 19 sprinkler heads I need to raise.
On the farm or?
Yeah, I have 106 sprinkler heads total.
Normally on farms, they have irrigation.
It's a lot. I have 16 zones, 106 heads, and I have to raise at least like 19 of them. So there's this tool that you can just, it unscrews the head and pops it out, and you should just put your riser on there, screw it back in. It works about 6 out of 10 times. The other 4 times, I end up having to dig it up, dig a hole so I can get to the where the riser attaches to and get it all done, whatever. So I'm one of those 4 times where it's not working, and I shove the shovel in the ground, and I know immediately when I hit it, I was like, oh, no. And I
broke it
right through the main line of the sprinkler system at an elbow, no less. It couldn't have just been at a straight, you know, just where I could have just, no. So now I've got to go and dig up all the way around it. And I'm, you know, I mean, we talked about this. I'm not a plumber guy. I know how to do it, but now I got to go back to Home Depot. And right before it started, just a torrential downpour. So I
turned the water off for outside too and digger.
Well, no, because the sprinkler system, this was the sprinkler line. So it wasn't, so it's off. There's no water running through it. Yeah, so it's off. So luckily, and yeah, so it could have been a little worse. But I was just, it's like one thing after another. Just that, and then, you know, trying to get this done, and it was a mess. It was an absolute mess.
And so, it's raining.
Yeah, and then it started raining on me right before I got it done. So, good times. But yeah, like, my hands are all cut up. And I'm like, why am I, my hands are all cut up. I cracked a bunch of nails. I feel like a girl. I'm like, why are my nails breaking off?
You sound like a girl if you're worried about your nails.
Well, yeah, they all like chipped off and everything. Trying to, I don't know. It was a damn mess. I tell you what, I need a massage more than anything. I need to go get a massage because, like, just bending over, getting all the sprinkler heads out of the ground, and everything for hours on end. I was thinking about that. I was like, man, I really need to go get like a regular old massage. I haven't had one in forever. Have you ever had a massage?
Yeah, we were talking about Lisa just had one of those deep tissues today.
No, I won't do those. And damn that.
I warned her going in, you're going to come out like you were in a street fight.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she called me and she's like, this woman just worked my ass over.
Yeah.
I remember I almost couldn't drive when I got out of mine because I had the Rockets old guy do it. And
yeah.
He was like elbows and, you know, and I got it. When I got out, I was like seeing stars.
No, no, I don't want one of those. I just want the regular one. Not one with the ending, Nick.
Believe it or not. Believe it
just
or not.
Just a regular ass massage.
What's that?
Not an ass massage. Just a regular massage.
What's the grocery store on the corner of Highway 6 and 59? Is it the organic store on 6 and 59?
Whole Foods.
Whole Foods.
If you go to massages?
Oh. $1 a minute.
Shut up.
I promise you.
Is this one of those ones like at the mall?
It's like in the stand on the side, yeah.
No.
They're fantastic.
Would you ever do one of those mall massages?
No, that dude in the mall.
Yeah,
hell
great. No.
Man, he's trying to actually lay hands on you when you're walking by. Hey, you Joe, you come here. You lay down now. I rub your neck. No, I'm
bro,
good.
No way.
They got like a little patio tent going on.
No, if you get a massage.
Inside the store.
If you get a massage at the mall, you're an a-hole. Like, you can go to hell. There's no reason to be getting a massage in the middle of the mall.
I think Nick said after Houston game day, he goes right to the mall to get a massage.
No, don't do that. You know what my doctor told me? Because my cat has arthritis, that I should get my cat a massage. I was like, bro, I'm not getting myself a massage.
The cat's not getting
I'm not getting my damn cat a massage. Are you out of your mind? How much is that? He was like, it's a couple $100. No!
Oh, my
Are you kidding me? Get the hell out of
I'm
here.
I'm aggravated. I have to give my dog pills. I'm not getting no massage.
Yeah. Not the happy ending.
No, damn. Cat. No. I bet my male cat would like that. He'd be like, yeah,
hey,
player.
They're, happy ending for the cat.
They're both virgins. He would probably really like it. Oh, God. No.
I can't say it. All right.
I'm not doing that.
So if you want to join the show today, we're here till 4, 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line where you can call, you can text, and or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with the K. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Joel, Nick, Barry, the usual suspects, right where we belong, in studio on a Monday on the most boring sports week of the year. Baseball is off. I know everybody will be clamoring to get everything done and home from work as quick as possible to see the Home Run Derby.
I do want to watch it. I'm not going to lie.
It
want to
be entertaining
see.
If the two big guys well, come out swinging.
I noticed that ESPN has the Home Run Derby. Fox has the game. Is ESPN, are we going to have to sit through Berman again?
No, he's gone.
Or is he done?
He's gone.
He's not doing it?
No.
Oh, thank
so
God.
No more.
I can watch it.
What would we call it? Would we call it a AARP chicken?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness. I don't want to have to watch that anymore. Speaking of the Twitter, you were talking about Bregman.
Yeah.
I had to mute our president of the United States on Twitter. I can't like because I don't even follow him.
Yeah.
But people keep retweeting him. People that I follow.
Yeah.
That dude, somebody please take his phone away.
Yeah.
He says the dumbest stuff, the craziest things. Like I finally ended up, this is what happened was I saw somebody retweeted Chelsea Clinton, who he went after.
Yeah. Yep. I saw it.
And I was like, what are you? You're the president, dude. You are not a Kardashian. You're the president of the most powerful nation in the world. Why are you on Twitter acting like a bitch?
All the time.
Stop.
All the time. And then change gears. It's like me tweeting out, hey, Barry, Nick, and I met, and we were talking about next week getting together with 610, and we were going to join forces to do some things. And then all of a sudden, we would get hammered on Twitter, and then I would tweet again, hey, I never said we were going to actually do something. I just said that Barry, Nick, and I met. with 610, but we weren't going to do anything.
It's ridiculous.
Just shut that. Just step away from the keyboard.
It's unprecedented to me. You know, you look at some of the presidents that we've had in the past, and this isn't very presidential to be on Twitter acting like a Kardashian. That's the best thing I could. He's acting like a crazy person.
Yeah.
On Twitter. I don't get it. So I had to mute him because it drives me insane. Like, I don't want to see. I've started muting people that tweet about him in a positive manner, and I started muting people that tweet about him in a negative manner. So essentially, anyone that tweets about him, either way, I don't want to read it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care about it. Nor do I want to read his weird ass tweets as well.
I mean, that's
like,
what's
just
kind of
crazy to me.
It's altered all of social media, from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Once this election started, everyone had an opinion and everyone was over the top vocalizing it. And then there were fights, and it was just like every time I got on social media, I was going to get inundated with either the political race,
yeah,
or selfies.
Yeah, and my buddy TJ Wary said it best. He's a comic out of Detroit, but he was like, it's been 8 months. You guys are still going on. He's going to be the president for the next 4 years. Go live your life. Go do something. Like, just let it go.
Well, that's what I said to Lisa the other night.
It's crazy.
Lisa's knee deep in all this and has to report on it every day. But I said to her, regardless of what if they find out the Russians manipulated the entire election and they determined who won, we're not going back in time.
It's no, they're not redoing done. It. There's no redo.
Right. So just move forward. But this guy, I mean, he is
nut.
Out. I mean, he's spraying it all over the place on both sides.
Yeah, I had to actually mute the dude because it's insane.
Speaking of political, though, one thing that I did want to say before we get too far into the show, rest in peace. Shout out to Matt Patrick, a longtime 740 radio guy. Cancer is an MF, and cancer got a guy at 58 years old that you've seen him on, I think, Fox 26. He would do segments as well. But Matt Patrick lost his battle with cancer, and as a in the fraternity of Houston radio, just want to rest in peace and best wishes and prayers to his family, because that was kind of a sad note that I did not know he was that sick.
Yeah.
And saw tweets to the fact that he passed, I believe, yesterday. So
very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the video when he decided not to continue treatments and stuff like that. That's when I noticed it was serious.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man. I mean, you just never know. We talk about it all the time on this show, but you don't. I mean, you got to be thankful every day you get, because you have no idea when it can just blindside you when you think things are going great. So,
indeed. Got a text. Somebody said the Santa Clarita Diet. I think you guys would love it. It's on Netflix. I have no idea what that is.
Is it a show or?
Well, if it's on Netflix,
Most probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they have movies too.
Yeah. Somebody said, speaking, because I guess I said I said ass at some point. Speaking of ass weekend, this is old guy that bangs three times a week. Friday was my 55th birthday. No banging, zero, none. Yeah, well, guess I was right. I guess I was right after all, sir.
Wow.
Well, happy birthday, by the way. 55. Good for you.
Yeah.
55.
And hopefully you got a little blue pill under your your pillow. I don't know.
OU Mike said he thought I'd learn my lesson after the 4-day toilet gasket. No, I didn't choose these to happen, OU Mike. And at least I got it fixed in a half. I mean, it took me, 20 minutes after the hour trip to Home Depot?
Dude, it's one thing to be working on a commode, but it's another thing to have to dig up a sprinkler line and deal with all of that. And I know, because I've replaced the elbow joint in that goes to my hot water heater in my attic and had to turn that off and do all that. And that is just not fun.
No, I hate it. Not my. I'm a sit on the couch and hire people to do it kind of guy. I mean, I can do a lot of these things because I used to be a carpenter and a painter and all that, but I don't want to. I have no desire to. So somebody, I don't know what this means, but somebody texted and said, you mean like when Travis Rogers asked me on Twitter to ask ESPN why he wasn't on air anymore? What?
Huh?
I don't know what that means.
Nick, do you know that?
Aware of that?
No, I'm not aware. I mean, ESPN LA? I mean, that's...
No, ESPN 97.5.
But he was never on.
Travis Rogers was on 1560, right?
And he was never on 97.5. So I don't get
it. But he was on 1560, right?
Correct, yeah.
I won't lie. I used to hate the show. All right. But it's grown on me. Keep it up, guys. There you go.
Wow.
appreciate it.
That's actually the second time in a week, I think, we've got a similar text.
Yeah.
Someone said they hated the show initially. And
I think we're doing things right. One of the... What? What's up?
You're going to love this, too. So I was looking at tweets, but then I get some DMs, right?
Uh-oh.
So I go to open them. One is my wife, who came up with a great topic, which
we can bring up. Sliding up in the DMs.
But your boy is the other one.
Who?
Kurt Lowe.
Oh, hell.
And Kurt Lowe says to me, did you see Kareem Jackson came at me on Twitter? I had to block him, too. And then he goes out and he sends it to me, and he and Kareem Jackson retweeted his tweet that said, Joel Embiid out here getting fined for cursing on social media, but this is acceptable. Come on, Houston Texans, keep it classic and classy. And he had posted one of Kareem Jackson's tweets, and Kareem Jackson put, find this, and flip the middle finger to him. So he had to block him.
Kurt Lowe just making friends, man. Baby.
This DM thing is becoming a thing.
Good job, Kurt Lowe.
You got Bregman, and you got Kurt Lowe, and you got Kareem Jackson. What the hell's going on?
Eric Graham was like, well, what's the difference between what Barry did, or what Bregman did, and what Barry did to Steve? And I said, yeah, I called Steve the C word in public, though. I just replied to him and called him that. I don't need to hide it, and I won't.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we continue to roll on. We've got plenty to get to. We haven't even caught up on Knicks weekend.
No.
We've got a recap of a lot of sporting events from the weekend that was, including your Astros with an absolute shellacking to end up getting a split with the Blue Jays in Toronto. But 19-1, 60 wins at the break, only two teams with 60 wins. I believe that's the first time since 76, but I'll have to look it up. But just the fact that 50, people were saying 60 is the new 50, because you used to be trying to get to 50 wins at the All-Star break. Now you're at 60. So your Astros are on fire, not only just in DMs, but overall on the field. So we can talk about that, talk about the second half of the season, talk about your Rockets making moves and still trying to make other moves, and a whole lot more. So give us a call. We are the usual suspects. You can reach us 713-780-3776. Text, call, or hit us up on Twitter right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel, Usual Suspects till 4, ESPN 97.5. And Barry, as we know, this fine state of ours, as much as we may think it's a baseball or a basketball state, it is a football state. And the state of football, though it is not even in training camp yet, or colleges aren't even practicing yet, there's still a desire for football. So why don't we bring in one of the most colorful personalities in NFL coaching, and of course, that definitely wouldn't be Bill O'Brien. Let's bring in Bruce Arians. Let's get Arizona Cardinal head coach Bruce Arians, and let's get him on the horn. He's got a new book coming out. We'll get him to talk. He was the book is about being the quarterback whisperer, but he actually has fulfilled those promises as a quarterback whisperer over his career. And one of those quarterbacks, Peyton Manning. He's got plenty of stories about, so it'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so before the top of the hour, we'll get Bruce Arians in here, talk a little football as we get ready for the season, which, whether you're ready for it or not, training camps are right around the corner. They are all opening this month.
I'll be honest, I am ready for it, but the Astros have fulfilled that need for, you know, something. You weren't getting this before.
Substance that you might have missed in past years.
Supplemented the sports fix.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Nick.
I'm okay. I'm not jonesing for something like I have been in the past where I'm just like, I need football. I need something I really care about. I've always loved baseball, but they're making it so much fun.
The Astros have been your GNC.
Yeah.
Providing supplements to get you through to football.
That's right. And speaking of, somebody asked, is it worth giving up some of the Astros' biggest prospects for another starting arm when we've seen Peacock turn into what he's become this year? Also, too, when they still have Morton, McHugh, and Fiers. Yeah, it is.
God, we got in the middle of just a brutal Twitter storm of that this weekend.
It's still worth it. When you look at some of the rotations that you're going to have to face in the playoffs, you don't want to go in with a 1-2 and a guy that's done it for half a year.
Right.
You want to go in with two ones and a two, or, you know, in the case of, I firmly believe McCullers could be a one. Mm-hmm. I would like to see this team have three aces or, you know, go-to guys that you can count on the playoffs. All those names that I just read, Peacock, Morton, McHugh, and Fires, I don't feel like you can count on any of those where you know going to the mound, as if we hit, it's a win. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. None of those guys give me that feeling. Don't get me wrong. Morton has pitched well. Fires has turned it around. We know how well Peacock has been pitching. I still don't trust those guys like I trust McCullers and Keuchel, or like I would trust any number of other guys that they could go out and get.
I get a sick feeling. You know, I was watching the game and I was looking at the standings and I was seeing all the graphics and I'm going, as good as this team is offensively and building a 9-game lead over just about any team in the American League, I kept thinking, but here's the thing. Come playoffs, that 9-game lead is erased. You're talking about a best of five or a best of seven. You're talking about where you better bring your best. And if you somehow find any kind of offensive slump, to rely on Brad Peacock as opposed to a guy that's been there, done that, would be scary as hell, because that would be my fear, that when you start talking about a team that had a great regular season that just got beat in a series that they shouldn't have.
Yeah, you're not winning games 19-1 in the playoffs. Right. That's just not going to happen. I mean, when you get into the playoffs, you're facing the best of the best. You know, I mean, yeah, Toronto's a decent squad. When you look at that lineup, they should be so much better than they are.
Oh yeah.
When you look at their pitching staff and that lineup, but it's just, yeah, if it comes, you're not winning 19-1. You're winning 4-3.
Well, you and I, and you know, hopefully the listeners appreciate this, but you and I have touched on this many, many times talking about baseball and saying, look, the playoffs are all about one-run games, and they're all low single-digit games because of the fact that when you match up aces, and I was watching, my wife and her mom were watching Family Feud last night, and they had all sports. So the one matchup was Hall of Famers, which most of the ones we interviewed on Radio Row, which was cool.
Nice.
Against DeAndre Hopkins and Le'Veon Bell and guys like that, current players. And then they also had baseball legends against basketball legends. And in the it was funny because they had Pedro Martinez, and I was Lisa's mom was trying to place Pedro Martinez. And I said, besides being a great pitcher, you remember he knocked Don Zimmer down. And I went and looked at that and then recapped like the 2003 series. God, you had Pedro and Clemens matching up three times.
Nice.
You had Schilling in that. I mean, you know, the guys you had in those series, that's what you expect playoff baseball to be. Corey Kluber is going to see the mound, you know, two and three times for the Indians.
Yeah.
You know, and then you look at all the different teams and go, they're going to have, like you said, two or three guys capable of being an ace or a really top frontline pitcher. That's what the Astros have to come up with.
When you look at Boston, they've got Porcello, Cy Young. They've got Sale, will be the Cy Young. And they've got Price. Yeah. Right. And then Cleveland, like you said, they got Kluber, Carrasco. And statistically, when you look at these guys, in the majors, not the American League, but in the majors, Cleveland, Boston, and Houston are 3-4-5 in ERA. So Cleveland carries a 378, Boston a 382, and Houston has a 393. That Cleveland and Boston, that's probably who you're going to see in the playoffs. So they can pitch. So, yeah, you need to be able to pitch. And it's a lot of it, when you start looking a little deeper, complete games. The Astros only have one complete game this year. Both Boston and Cleveland have three shutouts. Cleveland has 9 shutouts this year. You've got work to do to get your staff up to the level that Cleveland and Boston are at. Hitting-wise, that doesn't worry me. That doesn't concern me trying to hang run for run when it comes to the offense against Boston and Cleveland. It's that rotation that I think that you need that one extra starter that makes that difference to be able to compete
with those guys. And I will say this. From yesterday, one thing I can continue to love about this team, if they lose a game, they seem like they come back the next night and just absolutely pile on in getting back. And yesterday was no exception. I thought it was ironic that people were tweeting the broadcasters in like the fourth inning saying, what do they need in terms to be able to go to the All-Star break averaging 7 runs a game or more on the road? And Todd Callis was like, well, you know, it's going to take a miracle today because they'll need 13 to get it over 7. They're in the mid-sixes now, but yeah, they would need 13 runs today, so that's probably not going to happen before you know it. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't be so sure.
Yeah.
This team can really rip the cover off the ball when they get going, and they get going a lot.
You're right, though. I do like that bounce back that this team has. They don't get down. They go out and, you know, only score 2 runs and lose, and they come right back and score 19. Bad news, though. I read something this morning from Peter Gammons. Gerrit Cole is probably off the table.
I had heard that, yeah.
He said that he talked to the Pirates GM, Neil Huntington, and Huntington said, we haven't had a real conversation about Gerrit, and I don't see us doing so, Huntington said. We think we can be serious contenders next year. Our goal is to maintain a level of competitiveness every year and not to have a jump back and build all over again. So, I said before, I mean, if you look at the standings, if you look at, you know, they're probably out of it, sure. But in the wild card,
right,
that's that thing. I mean, they're 9 back on the wild card. So, yeah, that's a little bit difficult. And they've got to leapfrog teams like the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Braves even. But, I mean, none of those teams are really even in it as well. The Cubs are 7.5 back of the wild card as well. So, are you counting them out? Not necessarily.
In the division, they've got – It's less than that in their own division. They can make up ground. Milwaukee's still in first place in that division, so they are very much catchable.
Yeah, and then at some point, I don't know when they get Marte back, but Starling Marte should be back at some point towards the end of the year for the Pirates.
I think it's coming right after the break because they said that Marte, everybody was expecting to go back to center field and move McCutchen, and the Pirates have said because the decision has to be made sooner rather than later, McCutchen's going to stay in center field.
Okay,
so that means he's got to be on the horizon getting ready to get back and play some games after being suspended for, 80 games?
All right, yeah, it's been a while.
Brad Mills, the one-time Astros manager, is going to be the manager in the All-Star game because Terry Francona has had an irregular heartbeat and some scary health situations.
I think
so. He's going to sit out. Brad Mills is going to manage the team, and Jose Altuve will bat leadoff like he did in 2012 when Mills was the manager of the Astros.
Nice.
I kind of wanted those guys to go 1-2-3. Springer, Correa, and Altuve.
Yeah?
Selfishly, I did.
Of course you did. Real quick, I know we're going to break, but I want to give this dude a shout out. He said, can I get a shout out for my buddy's brother, Tim McClellan? He's caught the new state record hammerhead shark this past weekend. That
Did
can't
you see
be
the
right.
Picture of it?
1,035 pounds.
Oh, it can be right.
Over 14 and a half feet long.
I saw the picture of it. It was a monster.
1,035 pounds?
Dude, it looked like a submarine.
That's like Nick's last date.
That was a slump buster, not a date. There's a difference.
Haven't gotten there yet either.
Is that a Mexican shark? Nick's all over this.
Wow. Torchy's tacos, here they come. All right, so.
Well, anyways, yeah, whoever your buddy is, Tim McClellan, congrats.
Yeah, so we can have Bruce Arians next, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. If you got some questions you want to throw in there for the Quarterback Whisperer, please feel free to offer them up via Twitter or the HRP listener line where you can text us 713-780-3776. So we've got Bruce Arians, and then we got a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. The usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and from time to time, and probably pretty frequently, we get some decent guests around here, and today is no exception as the football state welcomes in a football mind, a man who is known as the Quarterback Whisperer, and so much so that he actually has a book with that title associated with it, Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, who was the offensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts for the Peyton Manning era and is now the head man of the Arizona Cardinals, who have had a pretty good run. A little downturn last year, but have had a good run. But a guy that I just love to watch on the sidelines, and I love to watch his press conferences because he's a no BS guy. He tells it like it is, and he seems to have fun doing what he's doing. And that's it seems like it's a rare commodity these days in professional sports. So I enjoy watching and listening and seeing Bruce Arians.
Yeah. Me likewise. He's a fun dude to watch. You know, he's one of those characters in the NFL that you like seeing out there.
Has arrived.
So, without further ado, let's head to the phone lines at the HRP listener line. Bruce Arians, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, joins us right now. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. First and foremost, maybe just give the listeners a little bit of an advanced preview of The Quarterback Whisperer, the book you got coming out.
Well, yeah, it's 40 years worth of stories and tales with some of the greatest guys I've ever been around and the quarterbacks I've been fortunate enough to coach and some of my history and other things that family and other things. So it's been in the works for a while. About 7 years ago, I met Mike Fetchko, and then 2 years ago, I met Lars Anderson. We hit it off, and a few cocktails, and we had a book.
Speaking of cocktails, Coach, I love this. I'm from Wisconsin, so I know the value of a tailgate party. But I loved reading the fact that after games in the players and coaches lot, you would pop the trunk, pull out a few coolers, and you guys would just sit around and kind of BS for a while and let off some steam. Tell us how that got started.
Yeah, it was actually back in Pittsburgh. Russ Grimm would do all the cooking, and I had the tailgate for as far as the drinks for all the players and their families and the coaches and their families. And you know, there was a lot of nights it was Casey Hampton and James Ferrier, Russ and I would be the last cars in the parking lot. And it was fun. It was win-lose. We had a great time, and it built team chemistry, and it's just a heck of a lot of fun.
Coach, you're known as a quarterback whisperer, but you're also a pretty darn good quarterback back at Virginia Tech. You ever go back and look at the stats, and do you know what your quarterback rating was over your 3 years there?
No, I haven't. Back then, I don't think we had quarterback ratings, but I did score a few touchdowns.
Well, they, you know, of course, it's the internet. Sports Reference has it. You were would it surprise you if I told you were a 108.3 for your career?
Oh, wow, that would shock me.
Well, you were. Your best year was the year you only, that first year, you had a 141, but you had 95 and a 109. Not bad, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach, you... You got connected with Peyton Manning after you, and I was wondering when you saw him, when you knew you were going to be coaching him, did you know right off the top, obviously the pedigree's there, but did you know right off the bat, hey, this guy's going to be special? And tell us maybe some of your fondest memories about working with a guy like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. You know, I kind of knew Peyton coming out of high school. I was at Mississippi State, made one phone call to Archie, and I knew that was worthless, but I had to do it anyway, see if he'd come to state. But, yeah, it was fun, and I always tell him, I called him Piranha because if I had an hour's worth of work, I had to have 2 hours worth of meeting time because he was going to eat it up and write down everything and save every note. And one of the most fun guys I've ever had the pleasure of coaching, but probably one of the hardest, too, because you had to work so hard.
Well, is it also, everybody says he's a coach on the field, but is that a benefit? Obviously, you're working with him, you're calling the plays, you're the coordinator, but is that an extra feather in the cap to know, hey, if things look terribly wrong and the play clock's running down, this is a guy that could redirect everything on his own from right there on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I was not the coordinator. Tom Moore was the coordinator, but Peyton, I had him his first 3 years. And we just got started with that no-huddle stuff the second year, and then he got started good third year. And then Tom took it off, and obviously he became the quarterback on the field. I got him in the rough years, the 3-13 year. But then we flipped it around to 13-3. And so, yeah, it was fun watching him become that player.
Bruce Arians joins us on the HRMP listener line. Coach, when you work with a guy like Peyton Manning with that kind of work ethic, and then you move on and you get other quarterbacks that you're working with, do you try to instill that kind of work ethic into them, or do you let them figure it out on their own?
No, each guy's different. You know, if you try to put as much information in some of the guys that Peyton had, that would be paralysis through analysis. Other guys just need to play. They need to know what the defense does and just let them play. So each guy is different. They learn different. And you got to make sure that you put them in a position that they can play fast and free.
You obviously specialize on the quarterback coach, and obviously fans here in Houston are curious about people's analysis of Deshaun Watson and what you might think of this young quarterback coming in the league this year.
Oh, I love Deshaun. I mean, he's a proven winner, and that's what you're looking for in a quarterback. He's obviously a great leader, but, you know, I was lucky to be in the stands when they played Alabama twice out in Phoenix, and he put on a show both times and just a tremendous leader and winner.
Coach, I follow you on Twitter, and I kept seeing pictures of you with your arm in a sling. And I was like, what happened? And it turns out it happened from a Larry Fitzgerald hug.
Yeah, that was more than a hug. We we kicked a game-winning field goal in Seattle, and it went for a high five that wrapped around my back and tore my rotator cuff.
And I saw you said that a get-well card wasn't going to do it. You needed a get-well convertible. Do you ever get that?
No, we're still working on that.
Coach, tell us the history of the Payne Stewart hat. I love it. I love the fact that regardless of what the NFL tells you to wear or not wear, that you find a way to make sure that that good-looking lid makes its way to the sidelines as well as press conferences. Where did that come from?
You know, I've always worn hats even back in the neighborhood as a kid, and I love that style. And New Era was great enough to make it for me. And so it is an officially licensed NFL property hat, but I can't wear it on the sidelines all the time. We made a pink one last year for the breast cancer game and did that one. Hopefully we'll have one for Salute to Service this year. They're making hopefully a camo one. And the story behind the hat is every hat that we sell, all the proceeds go to our foundation to help abused and neglected children throughout the country through CASA programs, court-appointed special advocates. That's what our foundation is for. And that's why I wear the hats all the time, because we do sell those hats at stadium and online.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Coach, I saw this article about some of the different stories. Now, you used to bartend, and you were talking about a story in there where you got held at gunpoint or something like that. What was that? What was that about? What are you doing there?
Yeah, I was my first year in coaching. I got hired full time, bought a house, had a baby, and got fired. And I was still bartending at the time in Blacksburg, and deciding whether or not I want to stay in the restaurant business, bartending business, or coaching. And that quickly made the decision for me.
Well, Coach, you had a great year 2 years ago, a little bit of a down year last year, but you've got all the usual suspects, as we love to use the term around here. Back this year, you still got Carson at quarterback. You got one hell of a running back at Johnson. You still got Larry for another year at wideout. What are your expectations and the outlook on the Cardinals this year?
Well, you know, we always have the same goal every year. That's to go to the Super Bowl and win it. I like our football team. We had a great spring. I think our defensive additions, especially through the draft and free agency, are tremendous. Carlos Dansby and Antoine Bethea and the kids we drafted. So I think we should be able to stay in the top five defensively and get back to offense. John Brown's the key for us. If he can stay healthy and keep his speed up, that'll be huge for us this year.
Well, Coach, most of the experts gave you guys an A+, A-, somewhere in that range for your draft. Do you pay much attention to that, or do you just know that you got those guys and you wait to see what happens once training camp starts?
Yeah, I mean, that should give those grades like 3 years from now when the guys have made it, something happened, you know. But, yeah, Steve Keim does a great job, and we were so excited to get the kids that we got. And, you know, I think they're all going to make our team and really contribute.
Coach, looking at this book again, if you didn't catch the opening part of the interview, Bruce Arians has a new book out called The Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback. The Texans have gone through many of them, and I'm just wondering, when you look at quarterbacks coming out today as opposed to a lot of the quote-unquote franchise quarterbacks that you've seen come out through the years, is there a difference? Because it seems like there's been quite a fallout. There's not that those big signature names that everybody associates instantaneously, no doubt can't miss, going to be a franchise quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. It seems like it's not that slam dunk of a, if you will, of a process anymore, where if you get a top five pick and you're going to take a quarterback, that that guy's going to be your leader for the next 10, 12 years.
You know, yeah, I think some of that was the rookie salary cap a little bit, but again, the game has evolved, and these guys have so much more to learn. They're still great players. They're going to be great players, but they have so much more to learn, and defensive has gotten so sophisticated, and offensively, the college game is fantastic. It's a little bit different, and getting them up to speed, you know, they might have three or four protections they have to know in college, and in the NFL you got 13 to 15 protections, and it's just a volume of learning.
I saw, Coach, where you said that you script your first 30 plays. 15 of those come from your quarterback, and you kind of let them tell you what they like as far as pass plays. Was that a difficult thing for you to do, kind of trusting in your quarterback to let them pick half the plays, basically, that you're going to run coming out?
No, I never want to call a play they're not comfortable with. So when they pick them, there's an accountability factor, plus I know that's what they like. And I feel very, very comfortable calling the ones they like. That's more than 30. They go through the third down script, the red zone script. There's probably, of the 40 passes thrown in the game, they've picked 35 of them.
Wow.
That's awesome. Coach, before we let you go, just real quick on the book, your favorite excerpt, something that maybe, you know, you thought about and hadn't said, told the story in a while, or when you look back at the finished product, what are you most proud of with this book?
I probably the acknowledgement. Everybody I ever looked up to in my life was named Coach, and more than any was my dad, and Jimmy Sharp, Charlie Robertson, and John Devlin are the three guys that really, really helped save me and again give me a chance.
That's awesome. Well, Coach, good luck with the book. Have a great season. Since the Texans are in the AFC, we don't have to worry about you all that much. But we love watching you on the sidelines. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll make sure everybody knows about the book. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Bruce Arians right there on The Usual Suspects. Again, his book, The Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback, available now. And I think maybe copies will be distributed down on Kirby sometime between now and the end of July. But that's just me. Anyway, Barry, Nick, and I will be back with One in the Books, 2 hours more of the show to go. So if you want to join us, feel free to do that. And we'll continue to roll on after a few words, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.